judgment. I'm not going to make it because I don't want to lose anything that's happening right here. We're so thankful to have our general youth president, Brother Scott Graham, here with us in Arkansas. We want him to come and preach part two tonight. Well, if you're not enjoying this, I would like to, where are we at right here? I would like to strongly recommend, if you're not enjoying this, don't go to heaven. Because eternity will be a very long time to be miserable. You know, and so if this all bothers you, man, heaven's going to seem like a long time to you. Because the best I read, there's only 30 minutes of it you're going to enjoy. Bible says there was space of silence for about a half an hour. Some folks, that's all they're going to enjoy, I'm afraid, if they make it there. Because when minute 31 comes, you're going to see stuff just like this. I don't know if they'll have a keyboard and an organ and drums. They're going to be a bunch of... Well, now behave yourself because I want to preach tonight. No. I'm going to preach tonight. See, I have the microphone. Now, for those of you that have just come in this evening, we're so glad you're here. And I don't mean to confuse you, but you have arrived in the middle of the sermon. And I know that has you very confused right now. You weren't here last night. You don't know what's going on. You got here in the middle of the preaching. We just are having intermittent praise breaks in the middle of one long message. And so, with that in mind, I don't know that I'll read the text every night, but you get a lot more comfortable if a guy gets up and reads Scripture when he starts, so I'll accommodate you tonight. I'm going to read from Judges 15. That was just for any of you that did what I told you to do last night. Found your mom or somebody came and visited and told them that you just perceived in the Spirit that I was going to read from Judges 15. I didn't want to let you down. It's great to be here tonight. Very good to be teamed up with Brother Keating. Man, he did such a great job today. Such an important topic that he addressed. Laying aside your excuses. And so important. And Brother Yadonichek, so good to have you here. I'm one of the few guys in Pentecost that can say it and spell it. I know his brother. I've known his brother a little longer than this good man. But hey, he can sing. Have mercy. Judges chapter 15, beginning in verse number 1. I'll read the same text I read last night because I'm in the middle of the same message. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, I will go in to my wife into the chamber, but her father would not allow him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said, concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corns with the vineyards and the olives. I plan to continue tonight by the help of the Lord, And I believe God has another thing to do for us tonight, another step to take, another process in the procedure of what He wants to do for us this week. I'm going to take us a little farther down this road of Samson's plan to ignite his world. Praise God. Amen. Now, I can't take time nor energy to re-preach everything I preached last night. I got more stuff to say tonight. But I'm going to do a two-minute recap, and if you don't act excited about it, I'm going to come slap somebody. All right? You could be seated in Jesus' name. Just to set the stage for those of you who have joined us in midstream, we talked last night about the fact that Samson went to find his bride during a time of harvest, only to understand and realize that one that should have been his bride had been given into the hand of a lesser man. She was held hostage by someone that did not love her like Samson. She was held captive by a pagan. And Samson decided right away that he wasn't going to take that laying down. And he decided that the Philistines were going to have to deal with him, because don't mistreat my bride and expect me to take it passively. He said, I'm going to start a fire that will sweep the land of Philistia from north to south, and the enemy is going to be downright sorry that he ever put his hands on somebody that ought to be my bride. I'm preaching to Arkansas that the Lord Jesus Christ absolutely is going to light a fire in this state that will sweep from north to south and east to west. Now, I don't just want token applause. I want something that comes from your heart. I believe there's going to be some youth groups leave this camp, walk into their high school this fall, not with a little emotion, but with a dynamic of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord is going to use you to wreak vengeance on the enemy. How dare he hold teenagers in drug addiction? How dare he slaughter kids with suicide? How dare the enemy put his hands on God's bride? I tell you what's going to happen. The Lord is going to use you to light a fire in this society. Can you give me any more? Just a little. Because God is not going to take it laying down. But I'm glad to tell you that God doesn't need superheroes to do His work. God doesn't have to have people with a 9-year pedigree. He doesn't have to have somebody whose granddaddy was already a tongue talker. He can take a kid whose daddy is an alcoholic and whose mother is a drug addict, put a little fire in your spirit, and send you out into the harvest. God doesn't need grizzly bears and mountain lions. He said, I'll take little foxes and I'll use them to make a difference in this world. I just want to know if there's anybody here tonight that the Lord caught up with you last night and you felt His hand. Because Samson said, if I'm going to use these foxes, I'm going to have to do 4 things to them. I'm going to have to catch them. I'm going to have to tie them. I'm going to have to ignite them. And then I will release them. I'm glad to tell anybody that wasn't here last night what went on in this place. The Lord of heaven went on a fox hunt here last night. I looked all over this altar as His hand began to fall. Man, I watched young men and young ladies lay on this carpet for an hour as God captured their future and captured their heart and captured their burden and captured their zeal. Hey, pastors, I want you to know there's going to be some kids coming back to your church that are not the same as when they got here, because a hand from heaven fell in this place last night and caught some of us. Now, I'm just not going to let that go just yet, because some of them weren't here to watch you in the altar. I'd just like to know if there's anybody here that said, Brother Graham, I'll never forget June 16th, 2003, because last night something happened to me. I'm not just talking about I shouted. I'm not just talking about I felt something. I'm talking about a hand from heaven that rested on, and it's been on me all day. I can't get away from it. The Holy Ghost has gripped me. Where are you tonight, young man? Who's the young man that God spoke to? Where's the young lady that God touched? But after, now that was just for last night, for those of you that weren't here. But after
He caught them. Then Samson tied them, because Samson knew that these little foxes, even though they had been caught, there was need to tie them for a little while. Let's face it. Even though they'd never felt anything like Samson's touch before, the memory of it would soon fade. You're not telling me if Samson had picked that fox up, given him a good muscular shake, and put him right back down, that that fox would have followed him home? That fox would have gone, ew, and run back chasing butterflies. Because if the reality, my Lord, if the reality of the experience was going to outlive the feeling, God was going to have to, Samson was going to have to tie them for a while. When he took his hand off them in short order, they would have returned to the same old habits. They would have returned to the same old patterns. They would have returned to the same old things they came from. And so Samson knew he had to tie them up. Now listen, as wonderful as his touch is, and there is nothing like it, I said, as great as it was around this altar last night, and there's nothing like it. We don't live with that kind of touch all the time. If you really think you're going to walk into Trig this fall and feel the same thing you felt about 20 minutes ago in here, you're nuts. The touch, the feeling will not always stay there. What we feel here, we will not always feel 24/7. But I'm glad to tell you, I love the feeling, but I don't walk by feeling. I walk by faith. And I'm here to tell you, he's just as real when you don't feel him as he is when you do feel him. Man, somebody needs to hear what I'm going to say to you tonight. Goosebumps or no goosebumps, he's still God. Shouting or not shouting, he's still God. No matter if you're dancing or you're walking, he's still God. And he's still good, and he's still worthy, and he's still faithful. Honey, what I'm preaching to you tonight is we need something that lasts when the feeling is gone. Because I have had my fill of watching kids get all tanked up at youth camp and 2 weeks later going home and they're going, what's the matter with you?
Well, it doesn't feel like it felt at youth camp.
Well, suck your thumb, you poor little baby. We'll get you a spiritual pacifier, and maybe you'll survive till next year. Honey, he's God. He's God at youth camp. He's God at home in your youth service. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Feeling or no feeling, he's still the same. So I preach to you tonight, we got to have something that lasts when the feeling is gone. We got to have something that holds us when the feel of his touch is not there. We need something to carry us when there's not 300 other little foxes around shouting about what it feels like when his hand falls on us. And so I'm going to preach real straight to you tonight that we need to be tied to something stronger than we are, and then we got to be tied to each other. Now, I am just fixing to pin my ears back and preach, because you listen to me with both ears and three if you've got them. I am not talking about being a prisoner. I am not talking about being a hostage. I am not talking about feeling trapped because he's got me tied up in some kind of little cage I'm trying to get loose from. In fact, I rebuke that mentality out of hell that we are a bunch of mistreated folks that are hostage inside a bunch of rules and regulations. I bind that spirit out of hell that tried to make you feel like like a prisoner. Honey, I'm not trapped in the church. I'm blessed to be an apostolic. I'm blessed to be Jesus. I'm blessed to be a part of this. Don't feel sorry for me. I love what I'm in. I'm so sick. I'm so sick of the devil making you feel like UPC stands for underprivileged children.
Oh, but Brother Graham, we can't do this and we can't do that and we've got all these rules. And would you stop sucking your thumb?
Honey, I love what I'm in. I'm not a hostage. Don't feel sorry for me, hot dog. I love what I found. There's nothing out there like, where are you going to go and get this? Don't feel bad for me. I've tasted both sides and I like it where I am. I'm not looking for...
for the announcement. I'm not going to make it because I don't want to lose anything that's happening right here. We're so thankful to have our general youth president, Brother Scott Graham, here with us in Arkansas. We want him to come and preach part two tonight. Well, if you're not enjoying this, I would like to, where are we at right here? I would like to strongly recommend, if you're not enjoying this, don't go to heaven. Because eternity will be a very long time to be miserable. You know, and so if this all bothers you, man, heaven's going to seem like a long time to you. Because the best I read, there's only 30 minutes of it you're going to enjoy. Bible says there was space of silence for about a half an hour. Some folks, that's all they're going to enjoy, I'm afraid, if they make it there. Because when minute 31 comes... Well, now behave yourself, because I want to preach tonight. No. I'm going to preach tonight. See, I have the microphone. Now, for those of you that have just come in this evening, we're so glad you're here. And I don't mean to confuse you, but you have arrived in the middle of the sermon. And I know that has you very confused right now. You weren't here last night. You don't know what's going on. You got here in the middle of the preaching. We just are having intermittent praise breaks in the middle of one long message. And so, with that in mind, I don't know that I'll read the text every night, but you get a lot more comfortable if a guy gets up and reads Scripture when he starts. So I'll accommodate you tonight. I'm going to read from Judges 15. That was just for any of you that did what I told you to do last night. Found your mom or somebody came and visited and told them that you just perceived in the Spirit that I was going to read from Judges 15. I didn't want to let you down. It's great to be here tonight. Very good to be teamed up with Brother Keating. Man, he did such a great job today. such an important topic that he addressed. Laying aside your excuses and so important. And Brother Yadonichek, so good to have you here. I'm one of the few guys in Pentecost that can say it and spell it. I know his brother. I've known his brother a little longer than this good man, but hey, he can sing. Have mercy. Judges chapter 15, beginning in verse number 1. I'll read the same text I read last night because I'm in the middle of the same message. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, I will go in to my wife into the chamber, but her father would not allow him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said, concerning them now, shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure? And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corns with the vineyards and the olives. I plan to continue tonight by the help of the Lord, and I believe God has another thing to do for us tonight, another step to take, another process in the procedure of what He wants to do for us this week. I'm going to take us a little farther down this road of Samson's plan to ignite his world. Praise God. Amen. Now, I can't take time nor energy to re-preach everything I preached last night. I got more stuff to say tonight. But I'm going to do a two-minute recap, and if you don't act excited about it, I'm going to come slap somebody. All right? You could be seated in Jesus' name. Just to set the stage for those of you who have joined us in midstream, we talked last night about the fact that Samson went to find his bride during a time of harvest, only to understand and realize that one that should have been his bride had been given into the hand of a lesser man. She was held hostage by someone that did not love her like Samson. She was held captive by a pagan. And Samson decided right away that he wasn't going to take that laying down. And he decided that the Philistines were going to have to deal with him, because don't mistreat my bride and expect me to take it passively. He said, I'm going to start a fire that will sweep the land of Philistia from north to south, and the enemy is going to be downright sorry that he ever put his hands on somebody that ought to be my bride. I'm preaching to Arkansas that the Lord Jesus Christ absolutely is going to light a fire in this state that will sweep from north to south and east to west. Now, I don't just want token applause. I want something that comes from your heart. I believe there's going to be some youth groups leave this camp, walk into their high school this fall, not with a little emotion, but with a dynamic of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord is going to use you to wreak vengeance on the enemy. How dare he hold teenagers in drug addiction? How dare he slaughter kids with suicide? How dare the enemy put his hands on God's bride? I tell you what's going to happen. The Lord is going to use you to light a fire in this society. Can you give me any more? Just a little. Because God is not going to take it laying down. But I'm glad to tell you that God doesn't need superheroes to do His work. God doesn't have to have people with a 9-year pedigree. He doesn't have to have somebody that, whose granddaddy was already a tongue talker. He can take a kid whose daddy is an alcoholic and whose mother is a drug addict, put a little fire in your spirit, and send you out into the harvest. God doesn't need grizzly bears and mountain lions. He said, I'll take little foxes and I'll use them to make a difference in this world. I just want to know if there's anybody here tonight that the Lord caught up with you last night and you felt His hand.
Because Samson said, if I'm going to use these foxes, I'm going to have to do four things to them. I'm going to have to catch them. I'm going to have to tie them. I'm going to have to ignite them. And then I will release them. I'm glad to tell anybody that wasn't here last night what went on in this place. The Lord of heaven went on a fox hunt here last night. I looked all over this altar as his hand began to fall. Man, I watched young men and young ladies lay on this carpet for an hour as God captured their future and captured their heart and captured their burden and captured their zeal. Hey, pastors, I want you to know there's going to be some kids coming back to your church that are not the same as when they got here. Because a hand from heaven fell in this place last night and caught some of us. Now, I'm just not going to let that go just yet, because some of them weren't here to watch you in the altar. I'd just like to know if there's anybody here that said, Brother Graham, I'll never forget June 16th, 2003, because last night something happened to me. I'm not just talking about I shouted. I'm not just talking about I felt something. I'm talking about a hand from heaven that rested on, and it's been on me all day. I can't get away from it. The Holy Ghost has gripped me. Where are you tonight, young man? Who's the young man that God spoke to? Where's the young lady that God touched? But after, now that was just for last night, for those of you that weren't here. But after he caught them, then Samson tied them, because Samson knew that these little foxes, even though they had been caught, there was need to tie them for a little while. Let's face it, even though they'd never felt anything like Samson's touch before, the memory of it would soon fade. You're not telling me if Samson had picked that fox up, given him a good muscular shake, and put him right back down, that that fox would have followed him home? That fox would have gone, ew, and run back chasing butterflies. Because if the reality, my Lord, if the reality of the experience was going to outlive the feeling, God was going to have to, Samson was going to have to tie them for a while. When he took his hand off them in short order, they would have returned to the same old habits. They would have returned to the same old patterns. They would have returned to the same old things they came from. And so Samson knew he had to tie them up. Now listen, as wonderful as his touch is, and there is nothing like it, I said, as great as it was around this altar last night, and there's nothing like it. We don't live with that kind of touch all the time. If you really think you're going to walk into Trig this fall and feel the same thing you felt about 20 minutes ago in here, you're nuts. The touch, the feeling, will not always stay there. What we feel here, we will not always feel 24/7. But I'm glad to tell you, I love the feeling, but I don't walk by feeling. I walk by faith. And I'm here to tell you, he's just as real when you don't feel him as he is when you do feel it. Man, somebody needs to hear what I'm going to say to you tonight. Goosebumps or no goosebumps, he's still God. Shouting or not shouting, he's still God. No matter if you're dancing or you're walking, he's still God. And he's still good, and he's still worthy, and he's still faithful. Honey, what I'm preaching to you tonight is we need something that lasts when the feeling is gone. Because I have had my fill of watching kids get all tanked up at youth camp and 2 weeks later going home and they're going, what's the matter with you?
Well, it doesn't feel like it felt at youth camp.
Well, suck your thumb, you poor little baby. We'll get you a spiritual pacifier, and maybe you'll survive till next year. Honey, he's God. He's God in youth camp. He's God at home in your youth service. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Feeling or no feeling, he's still the same. So I preach to you tonight. We got to have something that lasts when the feeling is gone. We got to have something that holds us when the feel of his touch is not there. We need something to carry us when there's not 300 other little foxes around shouting about what it feels like when his hand falls on us. And so I'm going to preach real straight to you tonight that we need to be tied to something stronger than we are, and then we got to be tied to each other. Now, I am just fixing to pin my ears back and preach, because you listen to me with both ears and three if you've got them. I am not talking about being a prisoner. I am not talking about being a hostage. I am not talking about feeling trapped because he's got me tied up in some kind of little cage I'm trying to get loose from. In fact, I rebuke that mentality out of hell that we are a bunch of mistreated folks that are hostage inside a bunch of rules and regulations. I bind that spirit out of hell that tried to make you feel like a prisoner. Honey, I'm not trapped in the church. I'm blessed to be an apostolic. I'm blessed to be Jesus. I'm blessed to be a part of this. Don't feel sorry for me. I love what I'm in. I'm so sick. I'm so sick of the devil making you feel like UPC stands for underprivileged children. Oh, but Brother Graham, we can't do this, and we can't do that, and we've got all these rules. And would you stop sucking your thumb? Honey, I love what I'm in. I'm not a hostage. Don't feel sorry for me, hot dog. I love what I found. There's nothing out there like, where are you going to go and get this? Don't feel bad for me. I've tasted both sides, and I like it where I am.